Stand by, listen for the fun. Here comes a full half hour of fun and profit with the man on the farm. Yes, the man on the farm, transcribing again by special wire from the Philipep Research Farm of the Quaker Oats Company, 45 miles northwest of Chicago. Hold the music, boys! Hold the music! Here comes that man with the 10-gallon hat and those cross questions and crooked answers, radio's talkative Oklahoman, Chuck Acree.
Thanks, friends. Dr. Kent and Denny Dunderline will be along in just a moment to quiet you down if George Menard can't do it. They're going to answer some of your poultry questions, too, but first let's see if there aren't some questions here that we can answer today. For one thing, we want to try a question from Mrs. J.W. Hughley, I believe it is, of Hendersonville, Tennessee. She buys a full of pep feed from the A.J. Smith hatchery there in Nashville, and she wants to know if a tabby cat is a female cat or a male cat. How many people have cats at home? Cats? Lady here, you have cats?
I don't have one, but a female cat, I would say.
A tabby cat's a female cat. Yes, the lady over here. What would you
female
say?
Female cat.
Female cat? Lady over here, you have cats?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Have mice, too?
No.
No mice. You have the
I've
cat.
I never saw one.
All right, now, what kind of a cat is a tabby cat?
That was a female.
Yes, lady here?
I say female.
Lady here, you have
female.
Cats?
Yes, and I have a beautiful one.
Yes.
A female.
Is it a tabby cat?
Yes.
And tabby cats are female cats.
Sure.
Anybody, you don't agree with that?
No, I don't.
What's a tabby cat?
I have a male cat, and he's a tabby.
And he's a tabby.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. In other words, that is correct. What does the word tabby mean?
Well, I think it means a male. You're a tabby, maybe.
No, I haven't caught any mice lately, but I've been chased by lots of rats. Yes, gentlemen here, what's a tabby cat? Male or female?
I reckon it's a male.
Yeah, now one of the ladies said she has a tabby cat. It's a female. What do you think about it? Let's go back and talk to the lady over here and see. You have a tabby... You sure it's a tabby cat?
Yes, because usually they're a certain color.
That's the idea. Sure. Uh-huh. It doesn't make any difference in whether they're male or female.
No.
No, that's what we're getting at. In other words, when you have a tabby cat can be either male or female. It just has to do with that mottled color of the fur. That's all. That's a tabby cat.
Black, yellow, and white.
It's what?
Black, yellow, and white.
Well, why don't you tell me that a long time ago? You'd save me all this trouble, see? Now, let's try this one for Miss... What was that? Yes?
I've got a tabby cat and I didn't know it.
We'll go home and take another look at it.
Oh,
what
gee,
color is
it? It's black and yellow and white and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Now you have a tabby cat.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now isn't that wonderful?
Yes. What's wrong with the lady here? What's wrong?
Cat. None of them are beautiful to me.
Oh,
I don't care
yeah.
whether they're tabby or what they are.
You don't like cats?
I don't like cats.
Well, why not?
Oh, the little hair all over everything and under your feet, and somebody has to feed them. I certainly wouldn't make a good old maid if they have to live with cats.
Well, now, they don't necessarily have to do that, but you're positive now you have a tabby cat.
My cat is so intelligent.
Yeah, is it male or female?
It's a female.
Well,
naturally,
she's learned that, too.
Naturally.
Yes, all right, fine. Because it's so intelligent. Yes, all right. Now, let's try this one from Mrs. James Turner of Huntington, Tennessee. She buys a full of pep bees from the Traywick Produce Company in Huntington. And she wonders if anyone here in the crowd has an answer for her question. She says a giraffe is known for having a long neck, but is its neck long because it has more bones in it, or is it long because the bones are longer? We want you to look up the answer to that question and bring it back for us next week. Does a giraffe have more bones in its neck than another animal? Then in the meantime, we have a question, Mrs. Ethel Ford of Bowie, Texas. She buys a full of pep peas in the Bowie Grocery Company there, and she'd like to know if anyone here in the crowd can tell us what animal would still be here on Earth within just a few months' time, even though every one of the animals in existence right now were killed. Tell them, go ahead, the tabby cat lady.
Yeah. I guess it would.
Yeah, there's an animal that you could get rid of every one of them in just about 10 or 12 months' time. Well, you'd be right back with more of them. Maybe a little
flies.
Bit more. A what?
What?
A
rabbit.
Well, not if you killed all of them. No, lady here, yes. You kill all of them, they'll be right back. Sure, lady here?
I wouldn't know.
Anybody here? Where's the hand? Come on, somebody tell. A mule! A mule!
Yeah, a mule.
Get rid of all the mules will be right back a little later on, because, of course, they're a cross between our...
Yeah, mule.
Yeah, all right, yeah, there we go.
Well, listen, I got another one, Chuck.
Well, wait a minute here. You might be interested. The mule has been said to be an animal without pride of its ancestry or a hope of posterity.
And you look right at me when you say that, huh?
Oh,
I like that. But I still got another one, Chuck.
Yeah?
Yeah. A mule is a stubborn animal that is backward about going forward.
Yeah, that'll work. It's all right. I think it's pretty good, Reggie. I think it's all right. Porter, maybe we'd still better start the music. Time now to take a moment to recognize outstanding poultry achievement. Here's Denny Dennerline, the manager of Fullapep Feed Service, to tell us about this week's Blue Ribbon winner. Denny?
Blue Ribbon honors today, Chuck, go to Mr. Cyril Bullitt, owner of the Ideal Poultry Farm, located near Green, New York. Mr. Bullitt, incidentally, is the second member of the Bullitt family to manage the farm. His father started in the poultry business with a small farm flock back in 1914. In 1920, he purchased the site that is now the Ideal Poultry Farm. Mr. Bullitt started helping his father on the poultry farm when he was about 10 years old, and in 1938, he joined his father on a partnership basis. Then in 1941, he purchased his father's interest and took over complete management of the farm.
And what's the specialty of our Blue Ribbon poultryman, Denny?
He's a breeder hatcherman, Chuck, specializing in white leghorns. Mr. Bullitt has about 4,000 layers in his breeding flock at present, and plans to increase the size of his flock in the next few years. He got off to a good start this spring when he started 4,000 white leghorn pullets. In connection with his breeding flock, Mr. Bullitt has a small hatchery. This part of the business was started several years ago so he could hatch the eggs produced by his breeding flock.
And does Mr. Bullitt get any help from his family in running this good-sized poultry business of his, Denny?
Yes, he does, Chuck. Mr. Bullitt tells us Mrs. Bullitt is a great help to him in the poultry business, and Audrey, age 9, and Yvonne, age 13, will be lending a helping hand any year now.
Well, that's certainly outstanding poultry achievement, Denny, and from all indications, we can certainly be looking for further achievement from the Bullitts in the future. Now, here's a brief message that Mr. Bullitt has prepared especially for our Man on the Farm listeners.
We started to feed Fullapep to part of our chicks and layers in 1938. The results were so satisfactory that in 1940, we began feeding Fullapep 100% and following the Fullapep feeding plan. During this time, our hatchability and production have increased. Before we started raising our birds the Fullapep way, it was necessary to use anti-pick devices on layers. Well, now it's not necessary. The Fullapep restricted feeding plan with Fullapep chick starter and growing mash has proved very economical for us. This plan produces good-sized pullets that are good layers. From past experience, I can honestly recommend Fullapep mashes and the Fullapep plan of feeding for all growing pullets and for layers.
Our thanks to Mr. Cyril Bullitt, owner of the Ideal Poultry Farm near Green, New York, for that splendid statement.
And thanks to you, Denny Dennerline. Now back to these questions from listeners again for a moment. Mrs. J.N. Graber of Topeka, Kansas, who buys her Fullapep feeds from the Coe Seed Company there, wants to know if you folks here in the crowd at the Fullapep farm believe that there's any such thing as spring fever. Have you had spring fever?
Not this year, but I have had it.
Well, how does it feel like?
Oh, boy, you get lazy.
Like I look today, huh? Yes? You think there is such a thing as spring fever?
Oh, definitely.
Did you ever take sulfur molasses?
No.
Never have.
No.
Lady over here, I bet, has, haven't you?
That's all my mother gave us, 14 children.
It's 14 children.
She gave us sulfur and molasses. Mm-hmm. Then we get that gritty feeling under your teeth, you know.
There's a lady behind you making face. I bet she had it, too. Have you?
Well, I didn't. I give it, too.
You've given it to the children, too.
I have.
Does it do any good?
Why, of course.
Well, why don't the folks do it nowadays?
Oh, they're too up to date.
Too up to date, huh? Sure. Sulfur and molasses just too common now, huh?
They'd rather give sulfur drug or something like that, you know, that'll make you so sick you don't know where to put yourself.
Do you take any sulfur and molasses now?
No.
But you used to, huh?
Oh, sure.
And was that for spring fever?
Sure.
Well, what did the sulfur and molasses do?
Oh, lots of things.
Like what?
Well.
Okay, that's enough. All right, lady here. Yes, do you take sulfur and molasses?
I don't remember if I ever did.
Mm-hmm. Is your mother here in the crowd
with
you?
Yes, she's right over there.
That's the lady here. Did you ever give her sulfur and molasses?
No, I don't think I ever did. I've given her sulfur, though.
You have you ever taken sulfur and molasses yourself?
I've never taken sulfur and molasses. I've taken sulfur.
How do you take that? Gargle it with milk?
No. I would just put it dry in your throat when you have a sore throat. That's the
regular sulfur?
Regular sulfur.
The yellow sulfur.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You've never heard of sulfur molasses being given?
Oh, yes, I've heard of it.
For spring fever?
Well, I never heard it give spring fever. I've heard it give, though.
Well, is there any such thing as spring fever?
Well, I suppose there is. They claim there is. I don't know just for sure, but I believe there is.
Well, here's what I mean. I mean, along about April or maybe March or maybe February, maybe if it's like me, maybe November, you get kind of
lazy?
Well,
it must be along in the last of May.
About the last of May.
Yeah, and so I believe you've got it.
Well, here we are in June. I've still got it. Yeah, the lady over here, yeah, old Mrs. Brown will tell us, yeah.
Well, during the winter, your blood is thicker in your veins than in the summertime, and if we should get warm weather in a hurry, your blood is so thick and it gives you a sluggish feeling, and in time it will thin out according to the weather. I never had sulfur and molasses, but I suppose that helps thin the blood down.
Think that's what it is? Let me go back over and ask these ladies over here. Have you taken sulfur and molasses, too?
I have.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what for.
In other words...
It just gives
you. In other words, Mama mixed it up and said, here, you take
that's
it.
That's right.
Huh? Did you ever give it to any of your children?
No.
Not at all.
No.
You don't know why you took it?
No, I don't know why I took
about
it.
About what time of the year they give it
about
to you?
March.
About March. Mm-hmm. Is that the time you got it to?
Just about, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the lady here?
Yes, in March.
March.
But it purifies the blood, you know, and puts a little pep into you and so on and so forth, you know. And yeah.
More so on than so forth, though, isn't it?
Well, huh?
What was that?
You take some and find out.
No, thanks. I wouldn't care for any. You can have it. I'd rather have spring fever. Did you ever have
it? No, I've never had it.
Wait a minute. Now, the lady has something else, yes?
I see. It's not that at all.
Just soon have it as peppermint candy, huh?
Sure. Rather.
Sulfur and molasses?
Sure. I don't like peppermint candy.
Anybody else? Any of you men here ever take sulfur and molasses? Gentlemen here, did you ever take any, sir?
Oh, I never did until I got married. My wife shoved it onto me.
She thought you were getting a little sluggish and dopey looking, huh?
She thought I wasn't getting spry enough.
I see, and she thought sulfur and molasses pep you up. You have spring fever?
I did at that time, yeah.
You don't have it anymore.
Oh, I got over that.
Just some pure self-defense to keep him taking sulfur molasses. He doesn't have spring fever anymore. You think it's just an excuse for us being lazy when we say we've got spring fever?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a time to take sulfur molasses.
That'll we don't take it anymore, though. You don't take it.
I don't take it. I got over it, you know.
You got over your spring fever. Gentlemen here, did you ever have it?
No, I might have spring fever, but I never took sulfur molasses.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen here, did you ever have it?
Yeah, I still got it. I walked out here this morning. I got spring fever right now.
Yeah, but have you got sulfur and molasses?
That's no, I never used that.
Never have.
No.
You just
spring fever.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen here, did you ever take sulfur and molasses?
Sure.
What does it taste like?
Tastes good.
You like it too?
Sure I do.
You'd rather have it in peppermint candy too, huh?
Why, of course.
Uh-huh.
Look how I'm living.
Look how you're living? How do you do it? Just breathe?
No, I don't breathe.
Do you have spring fever, sir?
No, sir.
Never have had spring fever. How old are you, sir?
Oh, I'm about 83.
You're about 83 and you don't have spring fever?
Yeah.
So you don't need the sulfur molasses treatment?
Well, yes, I used to take it, that's why.
But you don't take it now, though?
Oh, sure.
You still take sulfur molasses?
Why, sure.
About what time of year?
Well, long back.
About February, March?
March.
Long in there.
Then I'm just ready for work.
Then you're all set, huh? Yep. Well, they tell me that in the spring, a young man's fancy slightly turns to what the ladies have been thinking about all winter. I guess you have right idea there.
What, how thin?
What was that? George Bernard, do you hear what this lady said? She said what? House cleaner?
House cleaner.
You mean that's all the ladies think about all winter long?
Why, sure. Waiting for the weather to get nice and get out the rugs and take down the dirty curtains.
You have your husband help you?
No, I do that myself.
Try to get him out of the house. More of a
hindrance
than a help.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Get the whole push broom, the scoop shovel, and get busy.
And that's what the ladies think about all winter
long?
All
winter long. You ask any of them. They all think about house cleaning.
Did you think about house cleaning all winter long?
Why, no. I had something else to do.
Well, what were you doing?
I was working.
You were working?
Sure.
Well, now, I'll bet you, Nicole, this lady was working, too, weren't
you? Oh, brother, was I working.
But you still think the ladies think about spring house cleaning?
That's right.
We'll ask another one here. Were you thinking about spring house cleaning all along?
No.
What were you doing?
I don't have a house. I just have an apartment.
Oh, we have a city cousin there. Just an apartment, yes?
You see, I didn't think nothing about the house cleaning. My husband done the house cleaning, and I was out doing the work.
You're out doing the work, and he does the house cleaning.
He did, through the winter.
What kind of work do you have to do outside?
Well, I work away from home.
Oh, I see, and he takes care of the house.
He took care of the house, why,
good,
sure.
Good house cleaner?
Sure he is.
He keeps things straightened up?
Why, sure.
Can he bake good biscuits?
Well, he can, yes.
Does he wash the clothes?
No, he didn't do that. I do that myself.
Did he wash the dishes?
No, I do that.
Well, then he wasn't doing a whole heck of a lot, was he?
Well, he'd do cleaning of the house.
He was
other
taking
things. I'd make my bed. He'd do the sweeping and what there was to do.
Well, there's some men that get wives that way. I mean, you know how it is. Yeah? Lady over here, yes?
I say maybe that man that cleans the house, he just keeps these ashes of his pipe cleaned up.
Your husband keeps house neatly by keeping all the ashes from his pipe cleaned.
And I think if we attend to our home every day the way we should, there isn't a great deal of house cleaning to be done. So I don't think about that all winter. I only think about the swell day when we're going to get out and have a vacation.
Oh, I smell trouble brewing here. Yes, what did you say?
I said she's right.
Who's right?
This lady here, I don't believe in cleaning house or waiting all winter to clean house.
Well, now, wait a minute. You gals are taking my lady over here all wrong. You didn't mean wait all winter long. You meant you were just thinking about all
why,
the work that had to be done.
Sure.
Huh?
In spring, you paint and beat the rugs out in the lawn. That's what I call house cleaning.
Beat the rugs. They say you're not supposed to beat the rugs, that you always damage the rugs if you beat them.
Oh,
you beat
I don't
them
know.
Anyway.
I beat them anyway.
Yeah, all
that's
right.
That's why I got
how
all
do
the...
we get on this house cleaning business anyway? Wait, did I start this? George, listen, maybe you better have him send us some other questions.
Friends, if you have a question you'd like to have Chuck Acre ask the folks here at the Full of Pep Farm, by all means, jot it down on a card or letter and mail it right away to Man on the Farm, care of this station. And friends, remember, we want questions of all kinds, questions from everyone, everywhere. It makes no difference where you live or how old you are. If the question you send can be used, it will be adapted for Chuck Acre to ask the folks here at the Full of Pep Farm, and you'll receive a 100-pound bag of Full of Pep Chick Starter.
Yes, friends, and remember when sending your question to be sure and include the name of your Full of Pep dealer. We must know the name of your Full of Pep dealer so we know whom to tell to deliver the Full of Pep feed that you win. To send your question on either a card or letter to the man on the farm in care of this station. And remember, the sooner you send your question, the better, for in the event similar questions are considered for use here at the farm, the one bearing the earliest postmark is always given preference. It's time right now, friends, to hear from Dr. O.B. Kent, the director of Full of Pep Research. We're calling on Dr. Kent again for more valuable information about poultry profits. What's up for discussion today, Dr. Kent?
Today, Chuck, I'd like to talk about controlling lice and mites and how these parasites affect poultry profits.
Well, of course, anything that affects poultry income is certainly of interest to poultrymen, Dr. Kent, but isn't it true that lice and mites are responsible for rather large losses every year?
They certainly are, Chuck. The discomfort and lowered vitality brought on by these parasites lowers flock production and may make the birds more susceptible to disease. Most of these losses may be avoided because the control of lice and mites is neither expensive nor difficult.
Well, if it's not expensive or difficult to control these pests, Dr. Kent, then losses must be caused by just lack of care on the part of the flock owner.
I would say, Chuck, that it's lack of care with certain types of flock owners. By and large, those who specialize in raising poultry soon learn that lice and mites can seriously affect profits. Consequently, these poultrymen keep the pests under control. A large part of this big yearly loss we refer to is suffered by small flock owners where poultry is incidental, or by inexperienced poultry raisers who have yet to discover the loss they're taking by allowing lice and mites to go uncontrolled.
Well, the next step, of course, is to know something about these parasites in order to control them. Would you enlighten us a bit, Dr. Kent?
One important point to keep in mind about lice is that they spend their entire lives on the bird and cannot live long if removed. An inspection of several birds in the flock will soon reveal whether our lice are present.
And then mites, on the other hand, are different, aren't they, Dr. Kett? Because some species of mites, I believe, live on the birds, and the other species live in the laying house.
That's right, Chuck. Those species that live and reproduce in the laying house hide in cracks and other protected spots in roofs, walls, ceiling, and nests during the daytime, and come out at night to work on the birds. When morning comes, they usually go back into hiding. An examination of the roofs and nests will reveal the presence of these species.
And that, of course, brings up the control of these pests. I know there are several methods commonly used, Dr. Kent, but do you recommend any particular method?
Most control measures ordinarily recommended will get the job done, Chuck, and that's the important thing. There are many helpful books and bulletins printed on the control of lice and mites, and this material usually can be obtained from the county agent or the state agricultural college. Your local hatchman or feed dealer is another good source of information on how to control these pests.
Dr. Kent, would you tell us how you keep the lice and the mites under control here at the Fullapep Farm?
To control lice, we either dust the birds with sodium fluoride or paint the roofs with nicotine sulfate. In using nicotine sulfate, we apply it to the top surface of the roofs about a half hour before the birds go to roost. Then, when they get on the roost, the heat from their bodies vaporizes the chemical and it rises through the feathers and kills the lice. This method is preferred by most poultrymen because it is the simplest. Either treatment must be repeated within 10 days in order to get the nits or eggs which will hatch during that period. To control mites, we clean the laying house thoroughly and paint the roofs, roost support, nests, and adjacent areas on the walls with one of the heavy disinfectants, such as carbolinium.
Now, let's see if I have that right, Dr. Kent. For lice, you dust the birds with sodium fluoride or paint the roofs with nicotine sulfate. And to control mites, you clean the laying house thoroughly and then paint the roofs and the adjacent wall areas with a heavy disinfectant such as carbolinium. Is that right?
That's right, Chuck. Or you may use any of the time-tested methods recommended by your hatcherman, feed dealer, county agent, or state agricultural college. The main thing is to get rid of the pests, which will increase your production and your profits.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Kent, are these pests much of a problem in the brooder house or in the pullet houses or shelters?
Not if the quarters are thoroughly cleaned and disinfected with a good coal tar disinfectant before the birds are moved in, Chuck. If colony houses, where pullets are housed on the range during the summer, become infested, shut the birds out of the houses, clean and disinfect them, and allow the pullets to return as soon as the houses have dried out.
Well, thanks, Dr. Kent, for those comments on the control of lice and mites. And friends, remember, for other points on increasing poultry profits, be sure to see your copy of the 1947 Fullapep Poultry Booklet. Most of you have already received your free copy of this helpful booklet. But if you haven't, there are still a few copies left. To get your free copy, just address a card or letter to the man on the farm in care of this station. Your copy will be mailed immediately. Now, along with valuable information on the summer care and the management of chicks and pullets, this booklet will bring you complete details of the famous Fullapep Save on Feed Cost Rearing Plan. This is the plan that may actually save you up to 30% or more on the cost of feeding your growing birds up to the time they're ready to lay. Remember, the booklet is sent to you absolutely free as long as the supply lasts. You just send your name and your address on a card or letter to the man on the farm in care of this station.
Friends, here's a winning combination for raising good pullets at low feed cost. It's Fullapep Growing Mash and the Fullapep Save on Feed Plan. Now, by following the Fullapep plan, you may save up to 30% or more on the cost of raising pullets to maturity. At the same time, the Fullapep plan grows big, robust pullets. Pullets with the stamina to live and lay month after month to bring you extra profits. Until you have actually tried the Fullapep Save on Feed plan, you cannot appreciate how great the saving on feed cost will be or how much it helps you grow good pullets. That's why we suggest that you try the Fullapep plan this year and see for yourself the outstanding results it gives. As you know, the Fullapep plan calls for restricting the feed on range and includes the heavy feeding of grain along with vitamin-rich Fullapep growing mash. Now, of course, you cannot expect other mashes to give the same results with restricted feeding that Fullapep growing mash gives. Most mashes are not designed to be fed this way, but Fullapep Growing Mash is built especially to go along with the Fullapep Save on Feed plan. And so, for the kind of results that pay off in egg profits next fall and winter, feed Fullapep Growing Mash and follow the Fullapep Save on Feed plan. your Full-O-Pep dealer will be glad to tell you more about this economical feeding plan and help you get started on it without delay.
For our snoring contest, we have $5 today for the contestant who can give us the best imitation of a bedsheet buzzsaw. We have, what's funny about that? We have six contestants all lined up here, and the applause of the crowd, as usual, of course, will help us determine the winner. $5 for the winner. May the best pair of adenoids win. You snore at home?
They tell me I do. I don't stay awake to listen.
You snore?
I guess I do.
Well, let's start out with contestant number one, all right? How's that one, crowd? All right, contestant number two. All right, contestant number three.
Oh, I can't get it that time.
She blew a gasket. Wait a minute. All right. Yeah. Once more. There we go. Real good. Number four. All right, contestant number five, yes. Yes. How's that one, crowd? One more now, contestant number six. All right, there we are. That last one was one of those jet-propelled planes, I think is what we had. We'll check with the applause meter to help us determine the winner. In the meantime, here's a message of special interest to all livestock raisers.
Future profits in the dairy business depend largely on having good herd replacements available when low-producing, unprofitable cows are culled out. And there's no better way to grow big, sturdy heifer calves for herd replacements than the Full-O-Pep way with Full-O-Pep Calf Starter. This modern, improved calf feed is fortified with special vitamin-rich sources such as concentrated spring range, nature's richest vitamin combination, and wholesome, nourishing oatmeal, nature's prized grain for livestock. These special vitamin-rich benefits in Full-O-Pep Calf Starter help you raise calves that are big and growthy, calves with the depth of body and spring of rib that make for greater capacity and increased milk production. You'll find that Full-O-Pep Calf Starter saves you labor, too, since there are no gruels to mix or buckets to wash. And at the same time, you may save up to $30 per calf on rearing cost compared to feeding whole milk at today's prices. See your Full-O-Pep dealer today for more information about this easy, economical way to raise good calves that can become money makers in the herd.
Here's the applause meter. We have a tie real quick. Contestant number four. Let's have you again, please. How's that one, crowd? And contestant number two. Just a minute now.
Here it comes.
Contestant number two. How's that one, crowd? Contestant number two, according to the depth of the applause meter, you win the $5 for the snoring contest. Join us again next week, same time, when we transcribe another visit with the man on the farm.